Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, December 19th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. People living with disabilities are worried that it is taking too long for Zimbabwe to operationalize sign language.
We are actually engaging relevant ministries and relevant portfolio committees to ensure that they also recognize the issues to do with disability.
An organization catering for orphaned children is set to help more children next year. More than 2,000 men in Zimbabwe make court reports that they are being abused by women.
This is becoming a common problem because of the economic situation. And because I think in general, women have become more freer than they would have been in a traditional community.
And as usual, we'll take a closer look at women's issues. Stay tuned. People living with disabilities are worried that it is taking too long for Zimbabwe to operationalize sign language as one of the country's national languages. Edwin Ndlovu, chairperson of the Disability Trust, tells Studio 7 the government should move fast to nationalize sign language.
We haven't actually seen efforts towards ensuring that that provision is actually operationalized. Because we have a convention called United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities that was ratified in 2013. But you know that ratification is one thing, and also it has to be domesticated. And after domesticating, we need to ensure that the convention is implemented. So since then, the convention hasn't been domesticated. I think there is actually deliberate leaving out of the things to do with the disability, because on the list of laws that were those acts that are going to be aligned to the new constitution, we didn't see anything to do with disability. So that means it's we have a long way to go to actually ensure that the sign language has been what has been operationalized.
So taking into account that there is this kind of slow pace in operationalizing that kind of, provision in the Constitution, what are you doing, as an organization to push the government to most probably quicken the kind of process?
We are actually engaging relevant ministries and relevant portfolio committees to ensure that they also recognize the issues to do with disability, and ensuring that there is also political will to ensure that disability is actually prioritized, because we have come a long way in terms of lobbying and engaging various stakeholders to ensure that we get the support that is needed to ensure that persons with disabilities also benefit from the programs that will be done in the country, and those laws, the conventions that are there and the policies that are there should also uphold or should also include the disability, and ensure that persons with disability, they also get are protected by those particular laws and policies.
That was Edwin Ndlovu of Disability HIV Trust speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Sign language is among 16 other national languages in Zimbabwe.
Direct from Washington, the Voice of America, VOA.
The Mopane Foundation is expected in 2016 to cater for more children following its recent successful launch in Britain. Director Nomsa Nekavana tells Studio 7 they want to help many orphans in the country.
We are taking our kids' number to 32 in the next coming year. So we'll be paying for their school fees, buy their school uniforms and basic stationery. Currently, we've identified three more schools, one from Ngai, one from Machoko, and one from Matebele and South, which is down near Shongwe. And on top of that, we've got Zamani, and we are still awaiting to confirm two, but we've got 4 confirmed schools at the moment that will be getting schools from next year.
How do you identify needy students?
We really know that everywhere in Zimbabwe there is an orphan. So we sit down with the team and discuss areas we will target for the year. Then when we've got the information, we contact the schools and we get the schools to identify the kids because they know the kids more than we do. Then after that, they give us the basic information about the kids and like their profiles. Then we'll send our own people to go and verify that the information is correct. Then we take it from there.
Do you actually pay fees up to the end of their studies?
That is what we're hoping to do. We're hoping to have those kids that we've got on the program to take them all the way to, say, all levels. Then we'll see from there what happens. But the fact that we're getting our money from donations, we're hoping that we'll still be able to get donations to fund them all the way because we don't believe in paying for a child for 1 year and leave them the next year, because if we can only pay the child's school fees for this year, next year they don't have school fees. So we just pray to God that we'll still get donations and manage to take them all the way through.
That was Director Nomsa Nekavana of Mopane Foundation speaking with Studio 7 from Sheffield, United Kingdom.
How are you?
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
More than 2,000 men reported this year that they were abused by their wives. According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, 2,400 men approached the court this year seeking protection against abusive wives. For perspective, we reached Useni Spanda, who is a reverend under the Zimbabwe Institute for Social Transformation.
This is becoming a common problem because of the economic situation. And because I think in general, women have become more freer than they would have been in a traditional community. I think most of them now, some of them are taking this to extreme, then they are beginning to abuse their husbands. So I think the whole issue of gender, that's why we need to balance it and look at both male and female. I mean, now there have been cases even of rape cases, women raping men. There was one case where one woman in Plumtree was actually raping an employee. You know, so I think all these things are happening now.
As a minister of religion, how many cases have you handled whereby, you know, men are being abused by their wives?
Yes, I think the 2 cases so far, but these have to do not really with physical abuse, but I think some of it is really psychological and mental, where the woman would really abuse the husband verbally. And sometimes it can get to the length where the husband will feel that, look, I'll rather maybe stay away from home or go and get a peace order from the police in order for that problem to be resolved. So we have to do a lot of counseling in terms of talking to both spouses to find out the root cause. But like I said, in most cases, it is economic. But also, you'll find that some of these men, of course, they'll be employed and the husband is not employed. Then you have a problem. But also, I think some of it has to do with the outlook in life. You know, some of these women might be, jealous, or, you know, someone might be suffering, might be having a psychological problem.
How easy is it to resolve such conflicts?
It is very difficult to actually resolve such conflicts because traditionally you don't expect women to abuse men.
That was Reverend Useni Spanda of the Zimbabwe Institute for Social Transformation speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Even as the world marks the 67th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, China continues to crack down on rights defenders and others who seek to peacefully question official policy and contribute to the public discourse on China's future. Since July, the Chinese government has detained nearly 300 lawyers and activists. The United States has called for the release of more than 20 such people who remain in custody, as well as Ilham Tati, Kenpo Kartsi, Zhong Kai, Gao Yu, and Liu Xiaobo. Rights lawyer Pu Jicheng, who was arrested following his participation in a private meeting to peacefully mark the 25th anniversary of the violent suppression of the Tiananmen Square protests, is currently on trial. He stands accused of making criminal comments online, inciting ethnic hatred, and picking quarrels and provoking troubles. Pu Jicheng has been detained since May 2014. The United States mission to the United Nations recently expressed concern with China's national security law, noting that it codifies an expansive and vague definition of national security that invites arbitrary and situational interpretation by security forces. In addition, the United States is also concerned that the government's draft foreign non-governmental management law would unreasonably constrict civil society and undermine people-to-people exchange. It is incumbent on China to uphold the rights enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Marking the 67th anniversary of this important document on December 10th, President Barack Obama said, "We will continue to lift up the lives of all who yearn to exercise their inherent human rights and to shine a light on those still living in the darkest pockets of our world."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mplanganyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we are gladly joined by Alice Kuvea of Women of Justice Arise. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Kuvea. Tell us about your organization. What does it stand for?
My name is Alice Kuvea. I am the chairperson of Women of Justice Arise Zimbabwe, which is an organization which is a global organization that is seeking to help orphans, widows, and underprivileged people. Border Zimbabwe was formed in UK by a lady called Deborah, who saw a vision some 3-4 years ago, whereby God was telling her to stand up for women's rights. And in UK, they are helping women who are seeking for their asylum. They are helping destitute.
Where is your organization based for those widows that may want to come and join you?
Our office is in Bubiriro, and we are also based in Chitungiza, where we got some of our members who are also trying to find out or to interview or to look for women, for widows and orphans to help. We are also planning to, since it's called Roger Zimbabwe, we are also planning to visit the rural areas.
How many widows are you currently assisting and where are you based?
On our database, we have got over 1,500 widows and orphans. But for now, we'll be paying school fees for the orphans for about 150 to 200 people, depending on the donations that we are going to get from UK. We are actually limiting them because as far as we have seen, we have done our research on the ground, there are many orphans, many widows and orphans on the ground than a full family, I would say.
So for those that want to join your organization, what do they do? Where do they find you?
I am the chairperson, and I will give them my contact. It's 0777-66-2414, or they can get me on my email, that's kuveyaa@gmail.com. Right now, we are also opening a website.
And what words of encouragement would you have for some of the widows that may be listening to this program right now as we approach 2016?
Right now, we are moving with a team which is saying, "I'm a woman, I'm a widow, help me to educate my children." So I would say to all the women, even to the single fathers out there, please, let's come and join together. Let's come and join hands. WOJA is also a Christian-based organization whereby we seek to the face of God. And we pray, we unite, and we help each other accordingly to according to each and each individual's problem. So I'm saying, let's come and unite.
You were talking about some programs that you're going to have before Christmas. If you could tell us about those.
On the 22nd of December, in Bubiriro, we'll be giving out some clothes, some foodstuffs to widows, to orphans, to underprivileged people around the area. So we are seeking for more, for anyone who can help us, either in kind, with clothing, with foodstuffs, with cash, or anything that they can. Please contact us and help us. We are seeking any assistance from the organizations, from churches, from individuals, from the government, from outside the country, from within Zimbabwe.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Miss Alice Kuvea of Women of Justice Arise, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you, sister.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And now let's go to music. Youth make up the majority of Zimbabwe's population. However, many are frustrated at the lack of opportunities available to live the lives that they envisioned. Some have found a way out, and that is the dance. Here's more from Studio 7's Tatenda Kumbo.
Looking at these young men and women dancing their hearts out and pulling fancy moves, you'd think you are in New York City or somewhere else. But no, this is Zimbabwe's capital, Harare, and these Zimbabwean dancers form a 20-member dance group called Elysium Dance Group. Every day at the Harare Gardens, the Elysium dance group comes together and spins through grueling dance routines to a backtrack of thumping hip-hop beats. Wearing their baggy matching t-shirts and exuding urban street style, you think these are a group of happy-go-lucky youngsters just living out their lives. But to the contrary, for many, it's a way to distress and deal with broken dreams. One of the dancers is 23-year-old Marlon Magondo.
Elysium means a lot to me because it's like a family to me, especially General Hillary. He's like my mother, my father. See, because him personally, he opened some closed doors in my life.
General Hillary is the affectionate term the group has coined for Hillary Tandi Chingono, the dance group's hard-driving leader. Chingono, who is also addressed as Chief Commander, says for the youth, dancing is an outlet.
As they dance, they express themselves. There are some who are here who are very bitter with whatever it is that has been a disappointment in their life. So channel that energy towards dance and express that bitterness and that anger on stage.
With millions of youth in the country unemployed and many out of options for making a living, the depressed economy has spawned what economists in Zimbabwe have called a lost generation. Chingono says the dancing helps give the young men and women of Elysium not only a temporary escape, but more importantly, stops them from committing crime or resorting to using drugs to drown out their frustrations.
After they left rehearsal ground, they are too tired to think of anything else. So they will just go home and relax. And if they're going to be reading, they'll read. And if they're going to be doing any chores, that's what they will do. Instead of, sitting on the bridges and taking drugs and all sorts of vices that and felonies.
The dance troupe earns occasional fees performing at corporate parties and civil events, but not enough to provide the dancers with a regular income. For Studio 7, this is Tatenda Gumbo in Washington.
Thanks very much, Tatenda Gumbo. I saw you dancing away with these boys, right? Thank you so much. Now to recap today's top stories. People living with disabilities are worried that it is taking too long for Zimbabwe to operationalize sign language. And more than 2,000 men in Zimbabwe make court reports that they are being abused by women. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.